So, hello again, everyone. Today's talk is on dependent origination and how a lack of understanding leads to a conditioned way of looking at the world, which simply continues the initial causative link in the dependent origination chain, which is ignorance. Dependent origination is probably the most misunderstood, misapplied and misinterpreted teaching of the Buddha. And it is because of this misapplication and misunderstanding of dependent origination that all of the diverging and divergent different types of modern Buddhism has developed. Again, I'm not putting them down, but it is because of that. Dependent origination, let me just say what dependent origination is. This is what the Buddha awakened to. This is from the Paticca-samuppada of Abhyanga Sutta, but also mentioned in many other suttas in just this way. Dependent origination is often taught as a creation myth, that it describes birth throughout three consecutive lifetimes. It's also used to create a doctrine of interdependence or interconnectedness. One famous misguided teacher calls it interbeing. I only say that misguided because he refers to dependent origination as a declaration of interbeing. And as you can see here, there's nothing about that. That's not to say that there's not elements of interconnectedness and interdependence in the physical world. It simply has nothing to do with dependent origination, and it has very little to do with the Buddha's Dhamma. The Buddha awakened to this. From ignorance of Four Noble Truths, as a requisite condition, come fabrications or mental fabrications. Mental fabrications are assumptions that we make about ourselves in relation to the world. But remember, those assumptions are rooted in ignorance, as stated right here, ignorance of Four Noble Truths. From those fabrications or assumptions, as a requisite condition, comes consciousness. Now, again, the Buddha is not describing the arising of some grand consciousness. It's simply ongoing thinking rooted in this ignorance. In many, many other suttas, the Buddha talks about there's no discernible beginning and no discernible end to any life experience, and that it's foolish to even look at that, to try to find a beginning. What the Buddha is saying is that suffering, what he's describing, is the beginning or the origination of suffering, not the origination of all physical life. So the origination of suffering originates in ignorance. It's continued by assumptions rooted in those ignorance, and those assumptions fuel an ongoing consciousness, an ongoing thinking rooted in that ignorance. From that consciousness, as a requisite condition, comes name and form. Name and form is written in the Pali as nama rupa, which simply means identification as a form. I've given this form, this physical form, a name, and that name is whatever our name, whatever we describe ourselves. So I've given this name, this form, the name John Haspel. I've now identified myself as this form. Notice in the progression from ignorance where this occurs. The identity as this form is rooted in false assumptions, mental fabrications, that are is driven by ongoing thinking rooted in ignorance. From that self-identification as form, as a requisite condition, comes the sixth sense base. Sixth sense bases are five physical senses, and that sixth sense of consciousness, but remember, it's consciousness rooted in that initial ignorance. And so now I'm using the senses that are part of the body that I'm identifying as me to start describing the reality. That reality is already rooted in an ignorant view of the world. So anything that follows from that initial ignorance can only continue ignorance unless something is interjected or something is developed to intervene in that process. From the sixth sense base, as a requisite condition, comes contact. So now I'm using this contact rooted in ignorance to describe the world to myself and my relationship to the world. And it is at that point of contact that ongoing ignorance is proliferated. From contact as a requisite condition comes feeling. From feeling as a requisite condition comes craving. So something comes through my senses, and it brings me pleasure in some way. And so I naturally want more of that because I've identified myself. I've joined to that. Another aspect of feeling and pleasure or craving is craving for or desire that something be different than has occurred, than has come through my senses. It brings me displeasure or perhaps fear or any other negative emotion, and I want less of it. But that's still an aspect of craving, and it's still rooted in an ignorant view of the world. From craving as a requisite condition comes clinging and maintaining. I've now decided what I need to be happy in the world and what I need to avoid to be happy, or to be safe and secure, or to maintain, most importantly, maintain this self. Remember, the self is also now rooted in ignorance. But because it's all that I think I am, I'm clinging to that. This is the essence of clinging. When the Buddha described an awakened human being, he described that human being as unbound or released from clinging, specifically clinging to views, wrong views, rooted in ignorance. From clinging and maintaining as a requisite condition comes becoming. This is probably one of the most misunderstood aspects of dependent origination, usually not even addressed, even though it's probably the most important link in the chain. And the Buddha describes becoming in many different suttas, particularly the Loka, the Bhava, and the Mula Sutta. And all three of those suttas are included in my new book, Becoming Buddha, which means becoming awakened. This is what the Buddha taught. And so this dependent origination here in this link is pointing to the potential that each moment has to either continue becoming ignorant, meaning continuing wrong views rooted in ignorance, or to recognize that ignorance, to develop a strategy to interrupt that ignorance and become awakened. That's the choice. The word becoming is almost a hidden clue to the Dhamma. It points to what are we going to become in this moment? Are we going to become continually more ignorant, or are we going to become incline our minds to becoming awakened? The next link in the chain is from becoming as a requisite condition comes birth. And this leads to the whole understanding and misunderstanding of karma and rebirth. So karma is the present moment unfolding of past intentional actions moderated by current mindfulness. And if that mindfulness is inclined towards becoming awakened, then we will be giving birth to a moment that is inclined towards awakening. If that thinking is still rooted in ignorance, then we can only give birth to a moment that will continue ignorance. And that's the most important and fundamental aspect of birth and rebirth. What are we giving birth to in this moment? Is it inclining us towards awakening, or is it continuing ignorance? From birth as a requisite condition comes aging, sickness, death, regret, sorrow, pain, distress, and despair. And that's the Buddha's conclusion of describing dependent origination. And giving birth in that final sense means that if our minds are continually rooted in ignorance, we can only react to the worldly causes and conditions that we're all subject to. Everybody that has a physical body obviously has had birth. If we've had a physical birth, we are subject to sickness, aging, and death. We are subject to regret, to sorrow. When the Buddha describes dukkha, he describes it exactly that way, that birth is suffering, sickness is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering. Not getting what is desired is suffering. Getting what is undesired is suffering. And the Buddha would always conclude that by saying, in short, the five clinging aggregates are suffering. The five clinging aggregates simply describe the personal ongoing experience of dukkha, suffering rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. So that leads to the ancillary topic, excuse me, of dependent origination leading to conditioned mind. In that process, rooted in ignorance, the Buddha describes craving and clinging. That craving and clinging conditions our minds towards supporting those assumptions that we've made that are rooted in ignorance. That's conditioned thinking. When the Buddha awakened, he thought and meditated for 2 more weeks, considering was it possible to teach what he knew in a way that would overcome the common human problem of conditioned thinking or ongoing thinking rooted in ignorance. A modern term for that is conditioned confirmation bias. Our minds are biased towards seeing things in a way that confirm the views we have, no matter how much suffering and confusion might follow from those views. That's conditioned thinking. We're conditioned to maintaining those views. Another word for conditioned thinking is deluded thinking, because it's thinking rooted in ignorance. So how does one overcome deluded thinking when we're stuck in deluded thinking? In the Nagara Sutta, where the Buddha describes his own awakening, he describes that feedback loop of self-referential views stuck in conditioned thinking or consciousness rooted in ignorance. And in that, in the Buddha's process of awakening, he directly relates it to his initial understanding of the Eightfold Path. And so the Buddha, upon his awakening, realized that there needed to be a strategy so that a deluded mind could recognize where it's deluded and abandon that deluded thinking. And there's no other direct process. There's no deep analysis of this. It's simply recognition of deluded thinking, abandoning it, and developing right view. And we do that through the framework of the Eightfold Path. That's the reason why the Buddha taught an Eightfold Path, to recognize and abandon conditioned thinking, to recognize and abandon deluded thinking. Beginning with right view, initial right view, the first factor of the Eightfold Path, is simply recognizing that the views that I'm holding of the world are obviously wrong views, because they're creating great stress and unhappiness for me, for the holder of these views. And then we can look out on the world as another example of what happens to wrong views. Again, in the Nagara Sutta, the Buddha described that process of looking out on the world from now an awakened point of view. And he described the world as the world was aflame. It was aflamed with these passions rooted in conditioned thinking, seeking to maintain self-referential views rooted in ignorance. So the second factor of the Eightfold Path is right intention. Right intention is the intention to recognize and abandon craving and clinging to ignorant views. The next three factors of the Eightfold Path are right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And those are there primarily. This is where Buddhism gets mixed up with religion, because most religions have moral and ethics as part of their foundation. And that's certainly important to the Buddha's teachings and to the Buddha himself. But primarily, right speech, right action, and right livelihood are there to be mindful of. Because if we are mindful of right speech or wrong speech, or right action and wrong action, right livelihood, wrong livelihood, if we're mindful of the wrong or unskillful aspects of those moral and ethical factors, we can recognize where our craving and clinging is continuing our own delusion. In other words, to recognize in wrong speech that I might be lying or exaggerating about myself, or engaging in gossip or hurtful speech, if I am mindful of that in the right framework, I know immediately where I'm craving and clinging to a self-referential view. And what do I do at that point? Recognize that that speech or that action or livelihood is used to promote a self-referential view that can only continue unsatisfactory and hurtful experience. Recognize it and abandon it. Right effort, the next factor, points to the necessity of engaging in the entire Eightfold Path, beginning with meditation. Right mindfulness is the mindfulness to hold in mind the entire Eightfold Path. It's not a generalized mindfulness. but a very specific mindfulness of being mindful of each factor of the Eightfold Path. And the last factor is right meditation. The Buddha taught Shamatha Vipassana meditation for his entire 45-year teaching career. He never taught anything else. He taught meditation primarily for deepening concentration. Why is that? It is a distracted mind that is the strategy used by a conditioned, ignorant way of looking at the world. It's the strategy used to continue that ignorance. It takes ongoing distraction to what one is craving for and clinging to continue ignorance. So the Buddha uses meditation to interrupt that distraction. The Buddha used, and this is in my book too, in the Samadhi Sutta, and his description of the jhanas, the levels of meditative absorption, to deepen samadhi, a non-distracted quality of mind, in order to support the refined mindfulness necessary to completely awaken. So in the action of meditation, being mindful of thoughts as thoughts arise and returning our mindfulness to our breath, that movement from a distracted mind to a mind that is concentrated on the breath is interrupting that ongoing process of conditioned thinking. And it is in that interrupted space that we can then recognize where craving and clinging has taken place. We can then abandon it. And that is the reason why we use meditation for concentration and not for having experiences and not directly for analysis of things that may arise. This is one of the problems with the so-called insight movement, that meditation is now used to analyze anything that comes up in meditation, rather than use meditation to deepen our concentration and then use the framework of the Eightfold Path to recognize and gain insight into the three marks of existence, the impermanence of all things, the impermanence of anatta, the not-self-characteristic, and the resulting dukkha. So I hope I made it clear how dependent origination is what the Buddha awakened to. It led to his very first teaching of the Four Noble Truths, and how it is conditioned mind that is necessary to maintain that initial ignorance that then sets the 12 causative links of dependent origination into play. So I hope you find this talk beneficial, and I welcome your comments, and I'll have another talk next Wednesday. Peace.
Thank you for listening. I rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. I welcome your questions and comments. To contact me and for guided meditations and instructions, Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos, please visit becoming-buddha.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Peace.